The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Rolien Marx, how are you on this Youth Day here in South Africa?
I'm good, thanks, and you, and happy Youth Day to everybody in South Africa. May we have a brighter, bolder, more beautiful future for South Africa's youth and youth around the world.
What a beautiful way of putting it, because, yeah, goodness knows there's work to be done. Ro, let's get to what's going on in Israel. What is going on in Israel?
Well, let's start, as we seem to be doing over the last couple of months, with where we are with COVID-19. Again, yesterday, an increase in the amount of infections, and it looks like the epicenter of the virus at the moment in Israel is in the Tel Aviv area. And while the health ministry say they can't exactly find where the markers are, and they do believe that we are already in our second wave. And having said that, the numbers of infections aren't as high as they were, you know, when we were headed towards our peak and when we peaked. They have found that at least 11 staff at Ichilov Hospital were infected with the virus, and 10 at a nursing home in Tel Aviv. We don't know which one that is. But the stats are as follows. At the moment, we have, since the start of the pandemic, rather, let's give the full picture here. 19,338 with 302 fatalities. At the moment, 3,598 people are infected, 36 of them seriously, 27 needing ventilators, and 15,438 have made full recovery. But it's not all bad news. Just a little while ago, the government has okayed it for the health ministry to accept stock of, and I've been practicing at least for the last 5 minutes how to say this, remdesivir. Apparently the remdesivir is viewed as possibly the most promising treatment that is available. We don't know how much remdesivir. See, my practice makes almost
very
perfect.
Very good, Rolien.
It's good, right? It's good.
Totally,
I mean, I didn't
impressed.
Have to do an accent. I didn't even have to do an accent or anything. But what we do know is that we are going to get remdesivir. I'm going to say it again, remdesivir. And apparently it was used to start to help one of the first seriously ill patients. I think if you go back a couple of months ago, it seems like forever, a bus driver from East Jerusalem in his 30s, he was healed, or he was better because of the prescription of remdesivir. Apparently, we are also stockpiling hydroxychloroquine. That one I've been practicing for a little while now. We've got some of that, although, you know, there is the report that it is dangerous. But we have it, and as far as I know, I think you use it for malaria, something like that, mashukas, as we say, in Ivrit. But more good news, and that is we hope to start opening the air for travelers from the 1st of August. Now, we initially thought that maybe the 1st of July. However, I think with the recent spike of infections, we're not going to take any chances. You know, news coming out of New Zealand today,
yes,
that they are no longer COVID-19 free. Tourists from the UK who tested positive are in the country at the moment. But we are opening our skies very, very, very slowly. We hope to have people from Greece and Cyprus flying in from the 1st of August. And if there are any other countries that will be added to the list, we will absolutely update you right here. And in some sad news, and I really I hope people, you know, you can take it in the spirit or how it is meant. Ilhan Omar, who is a rookie congresswoman, very, very controversial. She has lost her father to COVID-19, just 67 years old. So, you know, nobody, despite our political opinions and our differences, no one would ever want to wish anyone the pain of having to lose a relative like that.
Rolene, I thought it was quiet in Gaza. I thought the Israelis were transferring Qatari aid, money, etc., and yet a rocket fired from Gaza. What's the backstory?
Well, let's talk about the Qatari aid. The Qataris have sent $10 million in aid for the Gaza Strip. And Israel initially said that, you know, they're going to not let the aid through unless the arson balloons stop. And there were several balloons fired from the Gaza Strip over the weekend into Israel, and we're still investigating whether or not several fires that flared throughout southern Israel were started from these balloons or something else. But one of the conditions for receiving the aid was please stop these terror balloons. And there are terror balloons. You know, they're packed with explosives or Molotov cocktails, and very, very dangerous, especially to kids who are excited to see the balloons and sometimes try and pick them up. But last night, a rocket was fired from the Gaza Strip into Israel. It landed in an empty field. Thank goodness, no casualties or damage. And in response, the IDF have struck several targets, Hamas targets, within the Gaza Strip.
Rolene, very interesting story that apparently there's been a victory against the BDS coming out of Spain. Why I find that particularly interesting is that Spain is particularly against Israel. I think its municipalities have come up almost uniformly to support BDS. So how did this happen? What a remarkable story.
Yes, honey, this is remarkable. But Spain's Balearic Island, and I have to be honest, I had to look on a map because I don't know where the Balearic Islands are. I've never even heard of them. But heard of them now, and very, very happy to make their acquaintance. But the Parliament of Spain's Balearic Islands passed a bill earlier this month. I don't know why it's only been made public now, condemning the BDS movement. And in their legislation, they've described BDS, and I really, really like this language, as discriminatory. And they have also taken it upon themselves to adopt IHRA, which is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism. We spoke a bit about it last week, which includes anti-Israel racism. And that's very, very significant language, anti-Israel racism, because while we're having discussions about racism and minority communities and the racism that is faced, you know, we see it popping up on social media. Chelsea Handler just this morning thinking that Louis Farrakhan is a great example of somebody who should be followed. That's just a whole mystery there. Yeah. But the senior counsel of the Lawfare Project in Spain, which was involved with this, he said, boycotts by public institutions have all the attributes of the most intolerable discrimination. They deny relations and the provision of public services to individuals, not because of their behavior, but because of something they cannot change nor avoid, their country of origin. So that is quite phenomenal language. And it's something that I've noticed that municipalities are starting to adopt, not just here, but in other places around the world, where they are seeing BDS for what it is. And we've got two countries, Austria and Germany, who ironically have horrendous, horrendous anti-Semitic pasts. And they are the amongst the first two countries in the world, if not the first two countries in the world, to recognize that BDS is inherently racist and anti-Semitic. And as the Parliament of the Balearic Islands, which I also found out, Simon, is a place to party. So we think
big
the borders are open and you're allowed there.
So surprised you didn't know that. I mean, that is party central, Rolene, like if ever there was. And the other thing, just very, very quickly, that they are absolutely famous for is the Anusim, the Jews who were forced by the Inquisition to convert to Christianity on the Balearic Islands. The church actually made a list of the family names, so everybody knew that those particular families were actually Jewish families, and it's remained up until this day. So there you go, my little two bits worth about the Balearic Islands as well.
Well, you learn something new every day. I mean, what do I know? I know Game of Thrones Central and Shoe Shop Central. What do I know about bodies?
Rylene, thank you for making me laugh, and thank you for the input today. That's where we're going to leave it.
See you tomorrow, same time and place.